This is your last chance to enter the Ohio Lottery's Fun Turns 50 promotion. Score $3,500 and two tickets to the epic party at the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame, where you could win part of another $400,000 in cash prizes. Enter the new 50th anniversary scratch-off or $50 worth of eligible non-winning $5 or $10 scratch-offs and My Lotto rewards through the Ohio Lottery app. Hurry up! The last entry deadline is May 13th. Lottery players are subject to Ohio laws and commission regulations. Play responsibly.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita!
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Hello, everybody. Welcome back to our weekly Penguins podcast. Andrew Destin and Matt Wenzel coming to you guys. Right off the bat, when we last convened, the Penguins were 5 points out of a playoff spot, had a stretch of three road games that were pretty much make or break, and since then have gone 0-2-1 and capped that off with blowing a four-goal lead to the Colorado Avalanche on Sunday in an overtime loss. Penguins are now 3-8-2 this month, 13th in the Eastern Conference, and now 9 points out of a playoff spot. Money Puck has given them a 1.7% chance of making the playoffs. Matt, I'm asking the million-dollar question here. You surprised at all that this is how this week transpired and that we're pretty much looking at some meaningless hockey here coming up in the next month or so?
Can I ask you a question first?
Absolutely.
That's the best you could do for a backdrop. You're in beautiful Denver, Colorado. It looks like you're posing in front of like a giant pair of gym shorts. Like, look at the drawstrings there. There's not some art in your hotel room that you can showcase here?
Well, so there's some art, but so for full backdrop to everybody, this is the first time on a road trip that I've had anybody in my family join me for it.
What? All right.
He was not anywhere near the shot. No offense to my father, but that's what we're working with here. The beds are unmade right now. It's a rough scene here at 7 a.m. Mountain Time. I got to be honest.
Okay. So you asked me, am I surprised that the team is this bad, essentially? And I don't know. I mean, in some, and I would say in the sense that, you know, we talk a lot how there's proud guys on this team who've been through a lot. You know, I guess you thought that maybe they would finish the season with more, you know, apparent desire. And we just really haven't seen that. You know, it's, you know, I think maybe that's maybe where the human element comes into play for a lot of these guys. You know, they haven't been in this situation where they are essentially eliminated from playoff competition with the month left in the year. I mean, they're still saying, oh yeah, we still have a chance. All we got to do is string some win-togethers, but you watch them on the ice and, you know, it hasn't even really been there. I mean, Sid had a great game in Colorado. He definitely showed up to play for that one, but even just kind of seeing him, not have the same impact, you know, that could just be the product of him carrying the team all year. You know, and just kind of running out of steam. But yeah, so I think in that regard, it's surprising to see the Penguins just be this bad. You know, their flaws have been on full display throughout the course of the season. They were on display Sunday in Colorado when you watched them blow a four-goal lead. But yeah, I mean, what's it now? 9 losses in the last 11 games. And when there was an opportunity there with all the other teams struggling for them to maybe make a run. I would say that part is just surprising to me, the effort and the just kind of the lack, you know, talk about lack of attention to detail. It's a cliche, but you just see it. Like, these guys just aren't interested in doing the little things that it takes to win an important tight fought hockey game.
Yeah, no, absolutely. And that's lack of attention to detail is a phrase that Riley Smith used, Marcus Pettersson used, Drew O'Connor. They all used it after that game Sunday. And it's not, you know, it's obvious, right? These are pro hockey players. They know exactly what they're not doing. And it's something that they're more than willing to describe because, yeah, I think the last week in particular, you saw that where there were moments where, you know, you can't build up a 4-goal lead and be given up the kind of chances the Penguins were giving up. And that's just a microcosm. My takeaway from that Colorado game is basically just that it's a microcosm of the season. It gives you the slightest bit of hope if you're a Penguins fan of, hey, there's, you know, still a potential here. This is what it can look like operating at full cylinders. But those same recurring issues that we've talked about all year, the defensive failures, You know, whatever it may be, it all kind of came back to the surface. So it's kind of set the stage for the 12 remaining regular season games that are pretty much, you know, in a way meaningless, just given that eventually here at some point, whether it's later this week or sometime early next week, we're eventually going to have something that comes out that says, you know, the Penguins missed the playoffs for a second straight year. Eventually it will happen, just given the distance it's now built up between them and the Capitals. And as well as, you know, the Red Wings being knocking on the door there for the eighth seed as well. If you're the Penguins, you know, where do you kind of go from here? It's a broad question, but how do you approach a season like this where with your core of Letang, Malkin, Crosby, you haven't been in this spot since 05-06, where this team has had to play out the strings of a season, truly. Because last year, at least, you were playing it till the end of the year. How do you approach this end where it's kind of, you know, unknown, uncharted territory for a lot of, like you said, proud guys?
Well, I think what they will do and what they should do is a completely different situation. And, you know, even, you know, looking back to that 05-06 team, you know, that was a completely different team context. I mean, that's Sid's rookie year. There was a lot to be excited about. He was pushing for 100 points down the stretch. I mean, there, you know, with all those young players that were still there, it was easy to say, okay, like, we may not be playing for a playoff spot, but we still have a lot to play for. Whereas this team, you know, how many guys under 25 on the team right now? Two, maybe three, Ludvig, St. Ivany, and Pustinen. So, I mean, it's completely different context, but I mean, you talk about tanking, you know, if you guys follow other sports, you kind of see it more obvious in some sports than others. I mean, the NBA, they'll just be like, yeah, this guy has a hangnail. He's out for the rest of the season. We're actively going to try to lose to increase our lottery odds. You know, they don't really hide that fact. You know, baseball is a little different. They just kind of trade all their good players and play a bunch of young players. And, you know, it's kind of what you do. Football, you don't really see it, at least at the coach and player level. So, yeah, I mean, every sport's different, but you just do not see tanking in hockey. And, you know, what do they do? Go to Sidney Crosby and say, hey, why don't you sit out the rest of these games so we can play Sam Poulin? So they're at least going to put all their guys out there. But, yeah, it would certainly benefit these guys to drop in the standings a little bit. You know, I think the worst they can do is to get the eighth lottery odds. I mean, they would have to really – they'd have to lose every game and, you know, have a team like Arizona win every game more or less to kind of go – even get even better lottery odds. But even the difference between finishing with the eighth worst record and the 10th worst record is a difference between, you know, 2.5% lottery odds, the ability to kind of move up, and also, you know, to not be in danger or as much danger as falling completely out of the top 10 and then losing that pick. So, you know, that's something that is not a Sullivan decision. That's not a player decision, obviously. That's a Cal Dubas decision. You know, does he find a way to get some of these young guys up here? What's his name? Panaramev. I'm still struggling with his name. Or Panamarev.
Panamarev.
Yeah, he is out week to week, apparently. He missed the last game on Sunday for Wilkes. So that was a guy the Penguins were wanted to bring up. That might be off the table now if he's out to week to week. But Sam Poulin's still down there. So, yeah, there's ways you can try to get some of these young guys into the lineup, maybe put them in more elevated roles where you're not just kind of like so blatantly trying to lose games. But make no mistake, it would definitely benefit the Penguins to just continue to lose. Maybe they don't need help. You know, honestly, I mean, they're doing just fine on their own. But, yeah, I mean, even just, you know, kind of falling from the 10th best odds to the 8th best odds, really benefits them on both ends of the spectrum in terms of potentially moving up and also potentially not completely losing their pick this year.
Yeah, no, it's a good discussion, obviously, with that top 10 protected pick, just, you know, given the implications from that Carlson trade. It's not something anybody in the room is going to talk about of wanting to lose, but, you know, there's no question that it's something that could certainly benefit the team just with respect to that pick. You mentioned bringing up some young guys, how that could potentially be something, you know, whether or not that happens remains to be seen, but are there any positive developments that you look at down the stretch that could be of any significance as you look ahead to next season? What I mean by that, is there any individual performances? Is there any play from a line combination, you know, a third defensive pair? Not that I want to get too far down that rabbit hole, but is there anything you look at that you say, you know, this is something that you've seen breadcrumbs of a guy starting to figure out at the NHL level and that could bode well for next season? Or is this, we're looking at a whole revamp, I guess, going into the next year, maybe?
Yeah, I mean, Okay, we'll start with Michael Bunting. That's a big one. Just seeing the newcomer come in. I mean, he's had some success so far. What's he on, a four or five game point streak, or did that get snapped in,
Denver? Just got snapped in Denver, but yeah.
So just kind of finding a good fit with either Malkin or Crosby, and just kind of, you know, you want to see positive things from him, and we have seen them. You talk about, quote unquote, the young guys. I mean, Drew O'Connor is older than you, I think. He's not really a young guy, but it's still, you know, important player for him to continue to solidify his spot on the team. I think he's done that. Still a streaky player, but his effort, you know, even if the production hasn't always been there over the last couple of months, you know, his effort, I mean, he was hounding the puck on Sid's, you know, prior to Sid's wonderful redirect there in Denver. That all started with Drew O'Connor just being relentless on the forecheck, and that's something the Penguins have wanted to see from him. I think you can put Poustin in the same boat there as two guys who have gotten extended run this year, have shown that they can hang in the NHL, and it's just kind of keeping that spot and putting themselves in a position where the Penguins can go into next year and say, okay, like, we can count on these guys plugging a couple of lineup spots pretty cheaply. And then you look at the young defensemen. You know, John Lugvid is 23. You know, I've been underwhelmed with his play so far. Not very good defensively. He's really struggling in that regard. You like his physicality. He's a bright kid, great attitude. And it doesn't mean he can't, you know, turn a corner here. Like I said, he's very young. Defensemen take time. And then your boy, Jack St. Ivany, as well. So that's another thing to watch, is just those two guys getting experience and the Penguins kind of figuring out, okay, like, are these guys going to be in the mix for NHL roster spots next year? Or, you know, do they kind of get put on the back burner if they kind of not seize this opportunity here? So those are the main things I'm looking at forward thinking wise. I don't know if I missed anything or anything else catches your eye.
No, not really any notes. Poustin was the big one that came to mind for me, in addition to, you brought up a few of those ones, Bunting and O'Connor in particular. You know, it's different. I mean, this is just, you know, again, I said it earlier in the pod of being uncharted territory, but I lean kind of on the experience covering the Pirates last year of, you know, meaningless September baseball. That's kind of how this feels. And it's all about just advancing it forward and guys penciling into roles potentially more so than, you know, an individual performance in one specific game. It's about seeing what these guys can continue to develop, or if they can, you know, advance that kind of development a little bit further. I think that's a group that I really look at. You mentioned a lot of those guys that certainly come to mind for me.
You said meaningless September baseball. What about meaningless July and August with this team? Come on.
I was trying to be a little nice.
Baseball here. Don't be nice. They stink. Yeah. You can't say that. I can say it. It's not my beat. Well, one more thing to add to is things to watch. Raquel and Riley Smith.
Yeah.
Those are two guys to watch in terms of offseason trades. Obviously, they got to up their value and, you know, make themselves more desirable. You know, it's kind of a delicate balance there with Riley Smith. I mean, I think you could argue, you know, that's a guy that could potentially come out of the lineup or should come out of the lineup. Maybe not could. I don't see it happening, but should come out of the lineup to make room to get a look at Sam Poulin or something like that. But the Penguins also have to be cognizant of trade value. You know, the optics of that are bad. Doesn't mean it necessarily would tank the value. But anyways, Raquel and Smith are two guys who, you know, if they finish the season strong, that obviously would be a good thing for the Penguins just to up their value.
Yeah, that's a good call.
Or maintain it.
Yeah, no, that's a good call. Both those guys slipped in my mind for different reasons. But conversely, I guess, are there any downward trends that you've seen this season that you expect to continue?
The whole team? Yes. I might have noticed one or two downward trends.
Is there one in particular you highlight, though, that you go, okay, like, you know, maybe nothing comes to mind for me in particular that I'm going to hammer right now, but is there anything you look at that's been really troubling this season that you go, there's a really good chance that that's going to repeat itself next year?
Sure. I mean, Evgeny Malkin. He's not been good. He's looked old. He's looked washed at times. There's occasionally you see games or even just shifts where he winds it up and you're like, oh, yeah. Gino used to be this incredibly dominant player. You know, just great career. Don't want to take anything away from it all. This is just like, this is your body. This is science. I mean, he's 37. He's gone through some pretty major injuries, you know, and he's a guy who's been so reliant on his physical gifts that, you know, once those erode, you know, it's just you're seeing what you see now, where he's not a guy who creates offense in a lot of different ways. I think you're seeing that with Chris Letang a little bit too. Now, that guy's like a fitness freak. You know, he's gone through some injuries as well. So maybe it's just a matter of him being worn down. But some of the mistakes you've seen him make over the last 3 weeks, there's been some real mental miscues, but also there's been plays where just physical mistakes. I mean, even the overtime winner, he's got to be smarter and kind of know that Drewhan is picking up speed there. But, you know, I think Chris is so used to just being like, I can skate with anyone. And then he just got blown by there. So I think that's a concern. Obviously the fact that it's now 2 years in a row where we've seen this team done in, the league's oldest team or one of the league's oldest teams done in by mental miscues, lapses, you know, allowing two quick goals or a goal right after they score, or these, you know, third period collapses. What's it now? 4 or 5 games where they've blown a multi-goal lead in the third period. So I think that's a concern. But I just think if you zoom out too, it seems like Mike Sullivan's going to come back. I don't know if the team continues to just go out like this. Maybe that changes Cal Dubas' thinking. But, you know, any chance he gets, he says Mike Sullivan's our coach. Like, why would he get rid of this guy? He also has a contract extension kicking in. But if you just look at the way this team plays, like, they can't keep doing this. And I know a lot of people watching this or listening to this feel the same way. But, the Penguins just can't continue to try to play that speed game where they're doing these stretch passes up the boards to shift the ice and get in on the forecheck. Like, they just don't have that personnel anymore. And they have to show a willingness to evolve tactically. It looked like they might do that prior to last season when Hextall brought in Jeff Petrie and Jan Huruda, some different type players. But, you know, I think that's probably the biggest thing hanging over this team is just the identity of it. It's just if you're going to bring back all the same core guys, I just don't know how you can justify, you know, bringing back Mike Sullivan if he's going to try to play the same way. I mean, something's got to give. They have to evolve. They have to do something differently because it's clear they can't win playing this way anymore. And it's not like Cal Dubas in the span of 3 months can drastically overhaul the roster to the point where they are suddenly one of the fastest teams in the league again.
That was a heck of a soliloquy, man.
Thank you.
I enjoyed that. No, in seriousness, though, I mean, there's a lot to unwrap there. I mean, I think the biggest question that I have just immediately coming off of that is you mentioned Sullivan likely to return. You mentioned the core, how Kyle Dubas has said also how that's a core that he's committed to. I mean, how much change then, I guess, should we expect beyond that? Because if these are all going to be constant parts that they're going to try to run it back with, and you can't imagine that after missing the playoffs 2 years in a row that it is going to be, you know, the exact same playing style, the exact same type of core surround or group surrounding that core, that supporting cast that would come in. I mean, how big of a change are you expecting?
I mean, I think we'll see another pretty significant offseason in terms of player movement around the core players. We don't really know, why or the reasons why Cal Dubas wants to build around. Well, obviously, we know why he wants to build around Crosby and Malkin and Letang. We don't know if that's just he would like to move on from them, but he can't because of no trade clauses. I don't know if that's Fenway Sports Group saying these guys got to be here. It's not entirely sure why the Penguins are going to build around those guys. But if they are, I think we're going to see a lot of turnover around them again. We talked about Raquel and Riley Smith. We already saw Jake Gensel go. So, you know, we're going to see a completely different look on the wings potentially. You know, I don't know how much movement we'll see on the blue line. Kyle has indicated that Marcus Pedersen's a guy they value. He has 1 year left on his deal. Will he go ahead and try to extend him in the offseason, or is that potentially a place where we see change? It's hard to imagine them upgrading on Marcus Pedersen if they moved on from him. But they're kind of locked into Graves. You know, Chris Letang, we just talked about, you know, he said Erik Karlsson is a part of the core. You know, is that because he has a full no trade clause? So, you know, I do think we'll see some tinkering. You wonder about N'Gol too with Tristan Jarry. I mean, I think Kyle, if he's going to keep Sullivan and he's going to keep the core three or core four, I do think he's realizes that, okay, like if we're keeping them, we got to change some other stuff. So I do think we'll see, pretty significant turnover in the roster, especially as they try to mix in some of these young players.
Yeah, absolutely. That's kind of my expectation too. And just, you know, one point I wanted to add in as well was, you know, something that was a downward trend from this season was also continuing to not get consistent bottom six scoring. And I imagine that's a group in particular that's going to get a serious facelift, just not strictly based off of that, but like we've talked about of, you know, what kind of value do they provide in third, fourth line roles for surrounding that supporting cast. Before we continue further in this podcast, I want to remind you that it's brought to you by Pella Windows and Doors of Pittsburgh. There's no better place to get new windows and doors installed in your home than Pella, who can help you save on energy costs year-round. Schedule a free in-home consultation with your local Pella Windows and Doors to find the right product for your home and budget. Give them a call at 866-593-1560 to discuss your project further. Again, that's 866-593-1560 to get started planning on your new windows and doors installation with Pella Windows and Doors of Pittsburgh. All right, one last segment before we wrap this one up. I want to call it the Wilkes-Barre wish list, and it's no, not just about Sam Poulin. I want to ask you, is there anybody not named Sam Poulin that you are particularly looking to see come up here by the end of the season? Is there anybody in particular that comes to mind for you?
Well, that's the rub. There's not a lot down there in terms of guys where you're like, this player will be part of our future. We already mentioned Ponomarev. Did I get that right?
Knocked it out of the park.
The new guy, he was one that we were supposed to see, but if he's out week to week, that's probably in jeopardy at this point. The only other guy I can really think of is Blomqvist, the goalie, but he's playing so well in the AHL. They're gearing up for a playoff run. That's going to be really big for his development. You don't want to rush goalies, but you do wonder if maybe they find a way to get him up here for a game or two. Maybe that's less likely now that they moved on from Magnus Hellberg. It's not like they have another good option there to plug in to try to keep them, you know, the AHL team winning games and making sure they get in the playoffs. But I know you've been following the minors more closely because you do Penguins Pipeline. I mean, is there anyone else down there that gets you excited?
Yeah, the one guy that I would probably be the most excited about is Jack Rathbone, and I only bring him up because we talked about it earlier. You brought up specifically with what are you seeing from John Ludvig and Jack St. Ivany. I would have no problem with trying to see what you get with Rathbone and bringing him up here. He's got a little bit of NHL experience, a bit more of an offensive-minded guy. In a lot of ways, profile
just what they need on their blue line.
Just what they need. But I bring it up because he's been this season – it's been a big focus of him to not stay true to that identity because 2 years ago, I believe it was in the AHL, he had like a 40 or 50 point campaign. And this year, the offensive stats have really gone down. And that's not so much a matter of, hey, you know, the production's not there. He's not focusing on that. It's more so that he's been asked to be a more reliable stay-at-home defender. And the results, at least in terms of simple stats that you're going to get out of the minor leagues, like a plus minus, have been pretty good. So I'd be curious just to see how does Rathbone's game that's kind of taken some changes, that's developed a little bit. How does that translate to the NHL level? He's got a little bit of experience playing there with the Canucks, but he's a guy that I would probably pinpoint a little bit just because we haven't seen him this year. He is on an expiring deal, and you don't just give it Mark Friedman for anybody. I mean, that's the big takeaway for me.
Well, I have two thoughts on that. I mean, one, it's a, you know, a player archetype thing. With Rathbone is similar to Ty Smith, is similar to Kalen Addison, where you have this, correct me if I'm wrong about Rathbone's size. He's not, he's probably around like 6 foot. He's not a big guy, correct?
Yes, correct.
So you have these guys who are kind of like third pair type, have the offensive skills to maybe, you know, run the second power play. But you look at Pittsburgh's roster, and that's not a need because you have Carlson and Letang, and, you know, that's kind of, I think that was maybe partially some of the issue why we didn't see Ty Smith this year. So just, it's kind of like a player archetype thought where you see a lot of those guys around the league that never like truly get their footing. And it's kind of like they're limited beyond some of the offensive abilities. And the other thing too, is like, we can sit here and say, this guy should be up, this guy should be up, this guy should be up, but they only have so many roster spots. You know, they don't want to lose guys on waivers. You know, and then there's the whole actual lineup spot. So they do are, and then there's, they can only make so many call-ups as well before the end of the year. So there are some considerations in there that kind of limit Cal Dubas and what he can do. So it's not going to be something where we just say like, bring up all the young guys, like everybody just let's get a big bus and, you know, drive it across the state. So the Penguins do need to be selective and you know, which guys get the opportunity to come up. But I do think Rathbone is worth noting as well, because we've seen them, you know, shuffle, you know, Ludwig, P.O., Riley Shea, now St. Ivany. You know, and I don't know that any of those players have seized the opportunity. I mean, I think P.O. has been pretty good here, you know, over the last couple of months, but obviously he's a limited player, you know, and talk again about player archetypes for that third pair. You know, his calling card is he's kind of a decent puck mover and kind of has some power play skills, but you don't really, that's not exactly what the Penguins need from their third pair of players if they're going to have Chris Letang and Eric Carlson here.
Yeah, no, great points there. And I've liked, obviously, with Ryan Graves waiting back in Pittsburgh, waiting the baby, but you bring up great points there. It's just that, yeah, there's, you can't just say everybody's going to come up. That's how it's going to be in, you know, the next 12 games. It's going to be an entirely different lineup. There's a lot of factors at play there. You know, there's the nature of the Calder Cup run and how important that is for guys in Wilkes to have getting that experience. So a lot of factors there. Before we wrap this up, I do want to beat the Sam Poulin discussion again. And I only bring him up because since last week, since we convened, Noel Achary being evaluated for a lower body injury he sustained on Sunday. And Jeff Carter has missed the last three games out day to day, according to Sullivan, with an upper body injury. I'm not sure how much this actually impacts Poulin's ability to get called up here. But you do think if either of those injuries, and again, I'm speaking in a hypothetical world, I don't mean to do that, but just given the nature, the timing of these injuries, and how much time is left in the season, if the Penguins were to get Sam Poulin up here, is this the kind of opportunity? Is this the kind of thing that would prompt Poulin to get up? Or is it still, hey, we're only going to bring this guy up if we can get him in a middle six role, and that might take, like you said, taking a Riley Smith out of the lineup?
Well, this should be the opportunity to get him up here. And you know, while we talk about these young players getting a look, it's all with, you know, maybe we should have clarified this earlier, but if they bring up a guy like Poulin, it's to get him, you know, 6-10 games and then send him back to Wilkes for the playoff run.
Yes.
You know, that's going to be important for these players' development. But, yeah, I mean, I think this is the perfect opportunity. If you know, I think you got to put players in a position to succeed. I think the Penguins feel the same way. But, you know, you could put Lars Eller in that fourth-line role. He's more than capable of being more of a defensive-oriented player if the main goal the rest of the way here is, you know, evaluating and potentially getting a little bit of development for young players. You could play Eller in a fourth-line role, give Poulin a chance with a couple of more skilled wingers. You know, that's kind of the thought process there. But I just don't know that the Penguins are going to do that until they get to the point where they have that little E in the standings next to them. I mean, we can look at it and say, okay, like these guys are done. You know, they got to climb past five teams to get into a playoff position. They have, what, 12 games left. Like, it ain't happening. We can all see that and say, okay, like, the U should be the priority, but you know, you also understand the people who have skin in the game saying, okay, like we're gonna at least pretend that we're pushing until we're officially eliminated. So, but yeah, I mean, this would seem to be the opportunity. We're recording this on Monday. There's no practice on Monday, no team access. So we'll find out Tuesday morning at the morning skate if, you know, what's up with Achary and Carter. But yeah, I mean, those are two centers right there. I know Carter's been playing the wing, but he's a center. It's a perfect opportunity, one would think, to bring up Poulin. But then again, we've thought there have been perfect opportunities in the past as well, and we haven't seen him yet.
Yeah, maybe it's just going to take that E next to the name on the standings, like you said. We'll just have to find out and wait. But
He should just stay in his apartment. It seems like the opportunities were like they could use him this year. He got hurt. He's had really bad luck as well to you know, kind of defend the Penguins a little bit. I mean, there were times earlier in the year where he was primed to get an opportunity and he had an unfortunate injury. So he should just lay low, stay in bed, cover himself in like pillows and such, just so if they do give him the call here today, you know, he's ready to go and he doesn't get injured.
If that's what a hot pro hockey career sounds like, I mean, sign me up for that. That's perfect. I'm all for that for employment.
Must be nice to not have kids and just sleep whenever you want. But anyways.
Wow. That was a stray I just caught there. Jeez.
Well, you're 24. What, do you want to have a whole family by now?
No. We're not getting anywhere close to that. I think
we're all right. Okay.
Wrapping it up, stick taps. Anybody jump off the page to you? I know I've asked this multiple weeks.
No, I don't know. Michael Bunton. Cool. Brian Rust. I think I said Brian Rust last week.
You didn't say Brian Russ last week.
Sid, I don't know. I mean, yeah, Sid had that amazing game. I don't know. It's hard.
Yeah, I'm wrapping
this up. I know who you're going to go with, so just go. Just say it.
All right, fine. P.O., we're done. Okay, thanks for tuning in.
Oh, P.O.?
Yeah.
Oh, I thought you were going to say your California companion, Jack St. Ivany.
No, I don't repeat stick taps. That's the big deal. Okay. I can't do it 2 weeks in a row. P.O., I enjoyed watching him this weekend. This is probably the best he looked in a top four role in a long time. Just 38 minutes over the weekend, first goal of the season. Took advantage of the opportunity. Liked what I saw there from him. So curious what we see from P.O. the last dozen games of the year. But that's going to wrap it up for our Penguins discussion. Looking ahead to whatever these next 12 games mean. Thanks to all you guys for tuning in, and we'll see you guys all again next week.
Thank you for checking out this content from Post-Gazette Sports. If you watch this video on YouTube, please like the video and subscribe to our channel. For all of the sports coverage the Post-Gazette has to offer, visit post-gazette.com.